Get what you missed on Ruined It's for breakfast on the catch up. For Adelaide Tools, selling tools, not toys. With 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Mile End and Gawler. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.
6:10, Ruined It's on this Friday morning. Roo, what's making news?
Interest rates are on the rise. Just when we actually thought they were going to go down again or maybe hold for the whole year. Out of the blue, NAB have raised interest rates by 0.25 of 1%. That was on the back of the US raising their interest rates because their economy is starting to motor along. Old Trumpy's got things going already over there. He'll take a little bit of the credit for it, but might have been happening.
So if their interest rates go up, do we traditionally sort of follow on the back of it?
I don't think so.
Does it influence us?
I'm not smart enough to tell you the truth here. I could make out dits, but...
Well, you normally do.
Yeah, that's true. But what does usually happen is if one bank does it, the others do follow. I can give you that much. Yep. So we'll wait and see if the others do it. But, so that's gone up a little bit here in Australia. Which,
now, someone once told me, is this an urban myth or is it true? When they decide the banks to put the interest rates up, they rotate who says it first so that they don't always look like the bad guy. So Mr. Commonwealth Bank rings Mr. Westpac Bank, who rings Mr. NAB Bank and says, it's your turn.
It's your turn, mate.
Yeah, you take the hit this time.
Yep.
And then they share it amongst them. Is that true? Do you know?
Well, that would be colluding.
Collusion. Yeah, but as long as no one knows that you called each other.
Oh, they've only had a Royal Commission into the banks.
Yeah, and came up with nothing.
No, but just got to do that.
But you know what I mean? So otherwise, you're always... Because the first one that does it gets all the publicity, all the negative publicity.
Yep.
And then the others follow 2 days later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, so they rotate.
Yep. We are down at very low interest rates, so a matter of time before it happened. But out of the blue, NAB have put it up 25 points. And if you're an investor or if you're... it's going up a little bit more than that, up about 0.3 of a percent. So, yeah, you have less money in your pocket again.
Mm. Terrific. Good news. Thanks, Roo.
You should be prepared for it anyway because they are very low.
Yeah. All right, now.
Who are you with? Are you with NAB?
I am with NAB. Yep.
Sucked in.
Well, who are you with?
ANZ.
Right, wait 24 hours. All right?
All right. I'll shift to the State Bank then.
Nah. I don't shift. I'm loyal.
Yeah.
I'll stay with ANZ.
Righto. Hey, what about our Premier yesterday? Boy, did he come out swinging. Unbelievable.
I've got to say, it is a little galling to be standing here next to a man that's been standing up with his Prime Minister, bagging South Australia at every step of the way over the last 6 months, to be standing here on this occasion, him suggesting that we want to work together. It is a disgrace the way in which your government has treated our state. Is the most anti-South Australian government we have seen from a Commonwealth government in living memory. We had a Prime Minister that came in here to this state during the course of the last federal election campaign, celebrating our leadership in relation to renewable energy, and then taking credit for it through his own renewable energy target. And for you to then turn around within a few short months when there's a blackout and point the finger at South Australia for the fact that our leadership in renewable energy was the cause of that problem is an absolute disgrace.
Righto.
Take that, Josh.
I think we need to explain. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, he had a real crack at him. Premeditated assault. He only was... ended up getting on the invitation list at 7 a.m. yesterday morning. Remember, we were trying to get to Steve Marshall yesterday. That's why we couldn't get him, because they were out there talking about how they want South Australian houses that have already got solar panels on the roofs to potentially put batteries with them and get the store the power that they gain from the panels and use it when they want to avoid blackouts, take pressure off the system. And Jay just rolled in and went bang.
Was it a bit of politicking or was he fair dinkum? Was he sincere, do you think?
Oh, he believes that. Yep. There's absolutely no doubt he believes it. But it was premeditated, and it was aggressive, and it was probably not common for a politician to do it. But I think he's a fighter. I think he's on the ropes at the moment. Mm. It's about round 10 of a 12-round fight, and he doesn't want to get knocked out next March. He wants to be the Premier for many years to come.
Let's hear from Josh Frydenberg.
I spoke to the Prime Minister this morning. It shows that, you know, we are focused on renewables, we're focused on storage, and we are doing it in different parts of the country at the same time on this important agreement with the gas players. The Premier made a $550 million admission of failure just a couple of days ago. So I feel that the Premier trying to come into this to crash tackle us at this announcement where he hasn't put any money into this important initiative, which the Commonwealth and the NAGL have, just shows you, unfortunately, how desperate he is. And I actually think it reflects very poorly on the Premier that he has to engage in this type of petty politics.
Caught him unawares, there's no doubt about that. Now, the Prime Minister went on to the project on Channel 10 last night.
Make a couple of points about South Australia. The first one is the one that Josh made, which is that Jay Weatherill did introduce a huge amount of wind into the state and made no provision for backup or storage, and that was the mistake. Secondly, far from not helping South Australia, the first pumped hydro project that we provided funding for is actually in South Australia. It's not nearly as big as the Snowy project, but it's at a place called Kaltana on the Spencer Gulf, and it would provide, built at full scale, 200 megawatts of power for about 8 hours. The third thing is, and this is where you see Jay's anger is a little bit theatrical, when he announced his measures, which basically involves buying a new gas-fired power station on Tuesday, he rang me up and walked me through it. So we had a perfectly civilised conversation. And as far as energy is concerned, we should get rid of all the ideology and the politics. Chuck it out. Let's just focus on economics and engineering.
Well, that's why I asked the question. Was it a bit of politicking or was Jay sincere?
So, no doubt. I was just laughing at his words because our big mouth comes and he sounded exactly, just chuck it out.
I still don't know who's right, who's wrong, if I'm honest. I still don't know.
I don't think any... Well, probably a bit of both.
Mm.
But
there's a lot of finger
one thing we
going
know
on.
Is we're not going to fix it.
No.
Because the Liberals thing, the one that Malcolm Turnbull wants to do that we spoke about yesterday, I read into that. 4 years, absolute minimum. Absolute minimum before it's built. Yeah. 4 years.
Righto.
And some are suggesting 10.
Oh, gee.
It took 25 years to build it.
The lights will truly have gone out by then.
Yeah.
Hey, Roo, just finish you up. It's St. Patrick's Day. You may know that. Oh, crikey. There you go. I played that.
Broken Hill Races. St. Paddy's Day. Always good up there.
Now, I've just read the history of this. St. Patrick's, this is observed in a big way by the Catholic Church. It's the day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland. So we're going back a long, 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 long time. Historically, though...
just drink.
you're right. You're absolutely
That's
right.
That's what I thought.
Historically, Lent restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol were lifted on this day.
Yay!
Which encouraged and propagated the holidays tradition of alcohol consumption.
Mm.
There you go. So it's an excuse for
just
a real knees up. There you go.
And dance.
And down at the Adelaide Oval today, you know, there's a big, big day. It starts at 8 o'clock this morning and you can kick on till late, so there's no finish time, basically.
Yeah,
Just keep going.
Get down Adelaide Oval.
Irish dancing and food and drink and, Oh, this is all on the plaza down there at the Adelaide Oval, all right?
Yep.
And there are other things happening around town as well.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on this Friday morning. All thanks to Adelaide Tools, the man who's just on his barnstorming tour of Adelaide. It's Lawrence Mooney.
I'm here.
How are you, Moon Man?
I'm glitter-free today.
You are glitter-free yeah. today. I'm sort of happy to see because I would have had to start asking some serious questions.
Well, two Fridays in a row with glitter and you're in big trouble, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Yeah. So
you get a second chance. You're going to make the most of it.
The reason why I'm glitter-free is because... my safety net is in town, my wife and child. Mm. So, you know, there's a please explain if you bowl through the door at about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Covered in glitter.
Yeah. Covered in glitter.
He's a very good liar.
I don't know whose hot pants these are, but they're comfy. And if this is wrong, I don't want to be right. I've got an Irish joke for you.
Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day.
It's back from the Troubles.
Righto.
And Paddy's given a post by the Ulster Constabulary, and there's a curfew, and the commanding officer says to him, if anyone rides past you after 6 o'clock, you shoot to kill. Paddy's standing there at 5:15 and just loads up and blows this bloke off his bike. The commanding officer goes, I said 6 o'clock, Paddy. He goes, I know where he lives. He wouldn't have made it.
I like it. Fantastic.
Good work, Paddy.
So I've got a couple of questions about...
yeah.
It's actually a quite a good initiative, Paddy. Continue. Now, I didn't know polite, the word polite, had a plural. I've seen this sign all over Adelaide. I've been coming here since I was a kid. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Polites.
Right. It's not like...
Is it a building society or a charity?
No, sort of a building
society. We tell people how to act around Adelaide. That's what we do.
Because they just pop up and I thought, is that a hotel?
Yeah.
That might not make any sense to me because you look at the buildings and there's no clues. But there's a lot of signs.
Yeah, it's a bloke called George.
It's a bloke without an ego.
And he owns everything in this joint.
Right, okay. Like,
they should have called this the town Polites, not
Adelaide. Made an honest living.
Okay, so it's... Oh, it's an Italian surname.
I think he's Greek, actually. Polites. Right. Mm. Yeah. Does that explain it?
Yeah, well, actually, my surname in Greek, any Greek people out there, excuse
Mooney.
Me.
Mooney.
Mooney. Is it's not a very polite word in Greek.
No, it's not.
It's the worst.
No, we won't go there at 12 past 8. No. The kids are getting dropped off to school.
There'll be some Greek people laughing in their cars.
Mm. You know, when you're in a studio audience and you see the big sign, it says applause.
Yeah.
Similar what we do in a plight.
With polite.
Right. Yeah.
Mm.
So George is...
George is no longer, but...
But his family.
His family have, and they've
carried on
money.
Carried on the mantle.
We love
just
a powerful family.
Wax
and hello
a sign
to
up on a building.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Just
they're
so
all
you
over.
Know.
Absolutely, I know.
Big blue and white one. Great.
Anything else about Adelaide that we can sort out for you or not?
I love Jay Weatherill. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jay Weatherill yesterday on the front foot.
Mm.
Very impressive. Now, I know not everyone's a Jay Weatherill fan, and how long have Labor been in Adelaide?
15 years.
55 years, and maybe they've outstayed their welcome. But that was Jay, just tuning up his violin. Yesterday, of course, he was in a press conference with Josh Frydenberg, the Federal Minister for Energy, and there's been a lot said about
it's heating up.
Renewables and, you know, the big battery and the gas-fired power station. Mm. And yesterday I thought Jay just served Josh Frydenberg his bum on a plate.
He's on the ropes and he's just going whack.
I've got to say, it is a little galling to be standing here next to a man that's been standing up with his Prime Minister, bagging South Australia at every step of the way over the last 6 months, to be standing here on this occasion, him suggesting that we want to work together. It is a disgrace the way in which your government has treated our state. Is the most anti-South Australian government we have seen from a Commonwealth government in living memory.
That is very strong stuff.
It is strong. He's fighting. He's on the ropes.
Right. So he's come out swinging. And Josh Frydenberg's energy policy looks about as patchy as his haircut. Now, there's some... I mean, he's going bald in four different places.
Oh, no. That's harsh.
That is harsh. Really,
it's
he should shave down,
bald.
No, I don't want to stand from a position of I've got hair. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, having a go at somebody with a disability. But really... I heard after that press conference that Josh took himself off and he was actually sitting in the corner texting. There was some advisor from Jay Weatherill said that Josh went and sat in the corner because he had been chided properly.
He'd been told.
But I just
loved
it.
He should have fought back, shouldn't he, Josh?
Well, he should have interrupted.
You weren't even invited.
Yeah, he should have interrupted. I mean, Turnbull would have interrupted. Pine would have interrupted. He wouldn't have.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have stood
back.
Yeah, he should have turned around and said, "What are you talking about, Jay?" and just made up some statistic.
Yeah. Mm.
58% of wind is
57 too many.
It's bad wind, and we know where it's coming from. Straight out of your mouth, Joe. Yeah, you know, something.
Yeah,
but you don't.
He copped it.
Took an absolute kicking.
Gave him the time.
So you know, because I'm a quasi South Australian for the 2 weeks that I'm here, I got really fired up. Yeah. So are we happy with
I just want to ask you a question.
The power plant.
Why is the Hazelwood power plant shutting down? Is it because it's stuffed or you haven't got the coal or why are you closing it? Is it
there's still coal in the Latrobe Valley and it's dirty fuel.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's seen as.
So you're going to shut it down and happy for the prices to go up?
You're asking me the difficult questions here. I'm feeling a little bit Josh Frydenberg.
Go and sit in the corner.
Was it the ball gags that have got you furious?
We've been talking about bloody power all week.
So we thought we'd ask a comedian to tell us.
Exactly. Why are they shutting it down there? It's going to make it harder and more expensive for everyone to survive on this planet.
Whenever I'd go and do a tour in the Latrobe Valley or down towards that way, one of the sites
no
that I loved
jokes.
was I loved coming up over the hill, and you'd see the stacks in the distance, you know, pumping out coal fumes. But that industrial landscape, I find quite attractive.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's going to cost us the planet, but aesthetically, it's a lot more pleasing.
The trees love it. The trees love a bit of CO2.
Plus, I don't mind a wind turbine either. In fact,
you like wind turbines?
Well, I think they look quite nice on the horizon, just going around.
Lawrence,
I mean, solar batteries don't excite me, you know.
No, that's just a bit boring.
What's going on there?
What about the lady that rang us one morning on this program to explain the wind farms? They turn them on when there's no wind, apparently.
They turn them on?
Yeah. So she remember that, Ruth? We have this dumb comment segment. Lady rang up and said, yeah, those wind farms, it's for days when there's no wind.
To create wind. Yeah, she wasn't all there.
That's the sort of person listening to this program, Lawrence.
There was one little flaw in Jay Weatherall's attack on Josh Frydenberg, and that was, you stand here and sit down beside us. And it's like, you can't do both.
Josh should have pounced on that.
He should have. Yeah. Stand
he didn't. He had a bad day.
No, he was looking
now, Lawrence, for it. Now, Lawrence, 3 days to go in Adelaide?
Three down in the garden.
Go so out with today? A bang.
I will go out with a bang. I'm going to go out swinging. So it's been a great time.
Didn't really appreciate your pot and dits when he wasn't there on Sunday night either.
Right.
On his team, mate.
Yeah.
I did giggle a little bit. But...
You did. You were slapping both thighs, actually.
What did I cop it over? What was
I? Oh, I was doing a bit of a mime of, you know, smoking joints and taking, you know, nefarious substances and said, well, that's dits. But if you don't turn up, that's what you get. That's your fair you get. Whack.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Duncan Bashir Hannon, they're called. The legal firm that you're here from. When you see that letterhead, you'll know straight away. Okay. Yeah, right.
Cease and desist immediately.
Hey, Lawrence, good on you, mate. Thanks for coming in and have a great last 3 days.
Yeah,
in
if anyone always out there, are they not sold out? You got any tickets left?
Got some tickets left for all three nights, so come along.
Well, get along, people out there. Don't even think twice about it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:45, Ruined Dits for Breakfast, thanks to Adelaide Tools. Five great locations around Adelaide. Proudly South Australian owned and operated as well for over 60 years. Hey, Roo, a fair bit of footy news around. Very sad front page story. James Hird has been in the news for all the wrong reasons for a couple of years. And I haven't had any sympathy at all, to be honest. I think, only personal view, everything they did was wrong, in my view. And so I've had little time. But I don't like to see people go through what he has either. To read his article today actually is very, very sad for what he's gone through.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't necessarily class him as a mate, but I've known him for a very, very long time. And I'm with you. I didn't like what Essendon did. I'm happy to push the boundaries with supplements and stuff like that. But I'm not into needle regimes and things like that. But I was watching him through that time, a lot of the time, going, how the hell is he coping? Mm. Like, getting stalked all the time and, you know, in the media and just lawyers and all that sort of stuff. It was astounding, really, that he was holding up. But
and it seemed every day he came out his front door, the press were there, weren't they, and cameras.
Yep.
And he was always polite. He always answered their questions. He was very tolerant.
He was putting on a facade, obviously. He's written an article in today's paper, if you're interested at all. It's worth a little read.
Yeah.
So he has said in here, he was in a psychiatric facility for 5 weeks.
Yep.
He rang Beyond Blue for the first time in 2015, but obviously didn't get enough help because 2 years later in 2017 he took a heap of sleeping tablets and tried to do himself in, which is just a horrible thought. Mm. He said in here, he fractured his skull and in 2002 and required multiple metal plates in his head. And he said, I'd much rather do that than go through what I've been through the last couple of years with the depression and stuff that he's had to deal with. He's trying to trying to get himself back into real life. He wants to get back into footy. Thanks his wife for all the support and everything. And I guess this is his first step back to trying to get a second chance at life and everything. So, I mean, some people will say, wow, 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 wow. But I think I wish him all the best. Absolutely. He's a good person. He's made a mistake. And whether rightly or wrongly, you don't want people in that situation, I don't think.
No, not at all. And it really hits home to me, reading that article, that, you know what, it's a game of football and it's a football club and that's all it should be.
Yeah.
And be as passionate as you want about it. And I am. I'm a crazy supporter. There's no doubt about that. But it's football and that's, you know, go out there, play hard and shake hands at the end of the day. And he shouldn't have to go through what he's gone through.
No, he has. And hopefully he can come out the other side. So good luck, James.
Yep.
And hope you can get back on track. Mm. In other footy news, David Koch, the chairman of Port Adelaide. It's an interesting one what he's doing at the moment, because you couldn't say he's making it any easier for the players and coaches at Port Adelaide. But at the same time, I quite like what he's doing. He's setting very, very high standards and saying, if you don't make finals this year, boys, it's not good enough.
Not making the finals is no excuse. It's just failure full stop. And I hate giving excuses. Mm. I'll just say, look, we failed, we've learned, we've got to do better, and we'll continue to learn. And we understand the expectations of our members and supporters is that we play, and my expectations is we play finals each and every year and high finals.
Can you tolerate a third year of failure without there being major changes?
No, we're not going to tolerate a third year at all. And we don't think we'll need to.
Nothing wrong with that from where I sit.
No, it's
strong leadership is what the club needs.
Strong leadership. I think they've got the cattle there. I think we're going to interview Ken Hinckley early next
Monday,
week, can't
we? Yep.
And there's no doubt there's talent there. There is a lot of talent there. They haven't been getting the best out of it for whatever reason. So, and that's what Koshy's saying. So, but there'll be some players there that won't like that because they're not strong enough to handle it. Well, you know, you probably don't want them in your side anyway because they'll probably crack on grand final day.
Fair point.
Yep.
All right, that's what's happening in the world of football.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, this is good, Dits. The top five of the week.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, we learnt Roo's two boys may have trouble counting.
Nearly left a kid in the Adelaide Hills. Went to look at this house. It was already sold, so I was fairly angry at that point. And so I said, get in the car. And as it turned out, I just ended up doing another lap around the property just because I wanted to have another look.
Yeah.
And Rosie came running out from the falling.
Nana
was just on between everyone in the car whose fault it was. I'm blaming the two boys, the 8 and 6 year old, for not saying anything because there's only three in the back seat. They could have said there's one missing. Probably didn't care. Probably were happy that they had a bit more space.
Put your foot down, Dad.
Keep going, Dad. Everything's good back here.
Number four, comedian Jim Owen was in, and we learnt how he struggled with his most recent diet.
Try that, you know, that no bread, no alcohol, no pasta.
No carb.
No carbs. Mm. But, you know, all I really lost was, like, the will to live. I give that away.
And what segment was that for again, Dits?
But anyway, that was our health segment.
Number three, Hamish Hartlett was in, and we learnt some players have been added to the injury list down at Port Adelaide.
I have to make an apology. I had to work on the weekend, interviewed three players after the game, Port players. I had my phone and my paperwork in my left hand, and my microphone in my right hand. They went to shake my hand, and I haven't got three hands, so I couldn't do it. And on TV, it just looked like I...
Fresh air.
I've just had no respect for them and burnt them, and I copped a barrel.
Twitter went into meltdown.
No, I'll apologise to them on your behalf, mate. I was wondering why the boys were dipping their hands in the ice bath after the game, mate.
Because they burnt so badly.
They were.
I love it.
Number two, speaking of injuries, Tex Walker was in to talk about his hammy, and the boys learn about a new acronym.
Pulled up really well, so good signs early.
So just doing the right thing to be ready for round one.
I'll be honest, I'll be guided by the PPT because I've never had a hamstring.
What's the PPT?
Physical performance team.
Just say that, please.
Slow down.
Try. If you could.
Come on, Dits, everyone knows the PPT. It's like the classic song goes.
PPT, physical performance team.
Sing it, Tex.
PPT.
Boy, boy.
Anyway.
Number one, we learnt what's making news in the Northern Territory.
All class, no arse was the headline they had yesterday because the grid girls have now got new outfits.
Oh.
Today's one that I saw, my dog ate my G-string.
I'm looking forward to going to Darwin mid-year.
It's also helped come up with the new motto for Ruined Dits.
All ass, no class.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
7:32. Just before we go to the news, Roo, I just want to relive something that happened yesterday. Have a listen to this.
My son actually stayed at a technical college last year and completed his SAIS. Since he completed his SAIS, he has spent many, many days just driving around with my husband, getting himself done up, dropping his resume off at different plumbing places right throughout Adelaide. He's desperate for an apprenticeship. And can't get one.
Right. This was yesterday. We're talking about jobs out there.
That was Leanne, wasn't it?
It was, indeed. Now, her son's given us a call. Brody's on the line. Brody, good morning.
How you going, guys?
Good, Brody. What's going on?
Well, yesterday, as you know, Mum put out the call.
Yep.
And, good on you, Mum.
Yeah. I got some plumbers called back in.
Yeah.
And one of them was from someone in Dale from Jordan Plumbing.
Yeah.
Right, good.
He asked me to go in for an interview, and I've actually got a job trial next week.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Hopefully an end of apprenticeship.
Good boy. We'll have a quiet weekend, Brody.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Now, Brody, so Jordan Plumbing, is that correct?
Yep.
And did you go and see them yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. So you're living at Seaford Meadows. Whereabouts do you have to report to? Where are they?
They're up at the job site I'll be working on is at Hindley Street.
Oh, that's right. That'd be perfect. You can stay there all weekend.
Yeah.
Nah, well done, Brody.
Oh, that's a good story, Brody. We're happy for you, mate, and good luck with it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, well done.
Putting on air.
Hey, mate, thank Jordan Plumbing. That's what you need to do. Work hard for them and start a long career with them.
Now, Roo, can I be you? Hang on, just stay on the line there, Brody. Roo, with your connections.
What?
can we get him some boots or not?
Steel Blues?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get you. Do you need any boots to work, Brody? Or?
Oh, I'd love some Steel Blues.
All right, mate. Well,
can you do that, Roo?
Get your pair of Steel Blues to whack on your feet.
What size are you, Brody?
13, I think.
13. So you got plates of meat there. Yeah. Crikey.
All right, we'll sort that out for you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you have a good career at Jordan Plumbing.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, guys.
And I know it sounds like a plug, but good on Jordan Plumbing for getting on the phone and doing
that. Yeah, it's well done. Well done, later on you're going to talk about this, though. We spoke about these jobs later on.
We've had a big reaction. I've had a lady ring yesterday once we got off air. She's got 60 jobs that she can't fill.
Just the lazy 60?
60. And then a friend of yours and
go up yesterday?
Oh, look, it's unbelievable. Tom Kelly from Peter Kittle Holden down in the port.
Yeah.
I ran into him in the street. He said the same thing.
They're looking for people?
Looking for people. And just can't find
anyone. That doesn't stack up, does it?
No. So we'll delve into this a little bit later on.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
7:42, Ruined Dits for Breakfast on this Friday morning. Another cracking day out there. It'll be 28 today. There is not a cloud
weekend
in the sky.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah.
Great weekend. A bit of family time and, just get out and enjoy the kids and the weather in Adelaide. And fair to say, last weekend for me wasn't the greatest. We've absolutely milked and talked about me and how bad I can be as a parent with leading my daughter behind up at the inspection.
One short.
But something else happened to one of the boys, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably most of us have done it at some stage throughout our childhood.
Right.
Sometimes you get a little bit hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And
who are we talking about here? Which one?
Tom.
Right. How old's Tom now?
He's 11 months.
Righto.
Yep. They can't talk and, he is walking now, so he can get around and do what he wants to do. But sometimes you just do things that you feel like doing. And Tom decided to eat his own poo the other day.
No.
He had a bit of a feed.
No.
Yeah, he had a bit of a...
How did this come about?
Well, I think the nappy come off he must have been hungry.
Mm. Ate his own poo.
Sarah thought he was munching on a little, biscuit or something a bit brown, but she got a bit closer.
Was it yuck? Was he going, oh, this is horrible, or was he just really getting into it?
It was just munching on a bit of it.
Does he like the peanuts in or the peanuts out?
It didn't say, but the fact he was still eating it, probably peanuts were in. I just
no.
But I mean, most
you
kids
feed
have done
him
that.
Or what?
Yeah, we feed him heaps. He's actually a really good eater. He's the opposite of Rocco. He eats nothing. He's a very good eater. But we were talking about it out at tea Sunday night before we went and saw Lawrence Mooney with Mr. Fagan and his wife, Alana. And Alana said, oh, I think you can get brain damage from eating poo.
Oh, good.
So that was handy to hear. That was handy to hear. I probably got some anyway, being my son. But, so Tommy's been eating a bit of nugget.
I can't believe that.
You would have done that.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
No, most kids have done that, haven't they, or not? You don't reckon? No.
I don't know. Eat your own poo.
Well, not. Obviously, you don't let them do it. You're disgusted and you brush their teeth
about this
and
question,
scrub them. And
I wonder what it tastes like.
Well, people drink your own urine. You know, Jimmy Stein's, he was doing it. People drink their own urine. When they had cancer, that was what he was doing. You remember? Didn't you watch that?
Drank his own urine.
Yeah, he did every day.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's that meant to do?
Well, it's supposed to be a lot of nutrients in it,
Talk about getting on the piss.
He was right on it. Like warm pints. It's like being in London.
Oh.
Yeah, no,
that's not right.
No,
I've heard of I wee on my foot to get rid of, you know, athlete's foot or a wart or something, but I don't know if I drink it.
Mm. No, it does happen, but...
Parents out there, 133353, seriously... Two questions here. Has your kid eaten his own or her own poo?
Oh,
but what else? Kids will eat all sorts of things, right? What has your son or daughter swallowed? What have they eaten?
Yeah.
That's a bit out there.
Give us a buzz.
Just you often hear kids have swallowed money and things like that. I've heard of that a bit. And then you eventually just poo it out, don't you?
That's dangerous, aren't they? Little batteries.
Oh, yeah. They are indeed. Mm.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, we're about to talk about a serious topic, but I've just found out he's a Richmond supporter. I don't know how serious I can take it.
Just slow down a bit.
We're talking about earlier in the week, the Greens nationally had this idea about a 4-day working week.
And 3-day weekend.
Yeah, that's right. The leader of the Australian Greens is Richard Di Natale. Richard, good morning.
Good morning.
You should have one week win next week. Beat Carlton anyway.
Well, people usually feel sorry for me when I tell them I'm a Richmond supporter. So
we'll go
easy
on you.
A bit of pity. Yeah, that's all right.
Tell us how this works, the 4-day week.
Well, there are a couple of different models. So in the US, what they did in Utah was they compressed 5 days into 4 days, a couple of extra hours each day, and they had a 3-day weekend. The workers there really liked it, 80% approval rating. The union were right behind it. In Sweden, they did it differently. What they found was that if in the aged care sector, they gave people a 6-hour working day. And what happened there was that people were able to do the same amount of work in 6 hours. They were just a bit more efficient, a bit more productive because they knew they were getting out early.
Yeah.
And so obviously they were able to reduce the number of hours at work but still get the same pay on both occasions. Look, the bottom line is, you know, in Australia, we're the hardest working people in all of the developed world. People have got a full-time job, work on average 44 hours a week. They do a lot of unpaid overtime.
Hardest working or work the longest hours?
Well, work the longest hours. Those two, not necessarily the same thing, but we work the longest hours. Has a big impact on people's health, you know, impact on spending time with your family and friends, relationships. I used to be a GP and, you know, you'd see people who were overworked, diabetes, heart disease, anxiety, depression. So I think as a society, we need to start asking ourselves, can we do this better? Are there ways of actually changing the way we work? Remembering that there are a lot of people who are also underemployed. So we've got this problem with distribution of work as well.
So when we look at the economics of it, if there's an extra day there all of a sudden where a workforce isn't turning up, I presume we then employ other people. But is that at a greater expense?
Well, as I said, it depends on the model you use. If you're able to compress the number of hours that people do over a shorter period of time, that's one model, and obviously you're still getting the same level of productivity from people because they're doing the same amount of hours. If you can actually get a bit of a dividend and get some efficiencies and do fewer hours, then it shouldn't affect people's take-home pay.
That doesn't make sense to me, Richard.
Well, what they found in the aged care sector was there when people were there for an 8-hour working day, they were just spending time doing things that weren't necessarily related to their work. They were just a little more inefficient. When they were there for 6 hours, they were basically committing themselves to getting the job that they needed to do over 8 hours over that 6 hours. They were just being a bit more efficient. And that was that productivity dividend was shown in all the surveys and research and analysis that was done of that. So
that'd make you scratch your head a bit if you're the employer, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, but I mean, most people know if you're doing long hours at work, what you do find sometimes is that you spend a little bit more time talking to your colleague over the desk, yeah. or you spend a bit more time over lunch, you might have a bit of a coffee break, some people have a smoker, all that sort of stuff. If you know you've got to get a particular amount of work done in a shorter period of time, you can sometimes do that more efficiently. But that's not the only model. As I said, there are different ways of doing it, and one way is to try and compress the working week over a shorter period of time. And then the final thing is just giving people a bit of flexibility. So for some jobs, if you come a bit earlier and finish earlier, and it doesn't impact on the work that you're doing, then employers should be offering that to people. At the moment, they don't. And the Greens have got some legislation before the Parliament that says, look, if you're in a job where you might want to start earlier and finish earlier so you can pick the kids up and avoid peak hour traffic, or you might want to start later and finish a bit later, or spread it out over, 6 days instead of 5 days and have shorter working days because it fits your lifestyle better, then it should be a right as an employee to do that.
So it goes back to the old days when flexi time came in.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's one way of looking at it. I just think, look, we've got to have a real rethink here. You've got to get the business community, and a number of them are doing it. A number of businesses are already doing it because they know that when people who are working are healthier and happier, they're actually better at their job as well.
Absolutely. When you're a GP, did you have your own practice or...?
I did a bit of everything, mate. I worked in a number of community general practices. I did some drug and alcohol work, and I did a bit of work overseas.
When you had your own practice, what if someone come to you and said, you should pay a receptionist for 8 hours work, but she only has to do six? What would have you said?
Oh, well, in the end, my thing is, this is what's expected of you. Like, this is the output we need. Like, these are the jobs we need done.
Mm.
And if someone can do that efficiently over a shorter period of time, then that's a good thing for them and for me. And if it means that they're going to be better at their job, more enthusiastic, but they're going to be delivering, the work that they're supposed to be doing, then, I mean, what you do is you have a six-hour day and you pay them more per hour.
Yep. Oh, all right, interesting concept, Richard. We'll take some calls on this. I'm sure people have got their opinion on it. Richard Di Natale, leader of the Australian Greens, thank you so much.
Good on you.
Good on you, Richard.
Rue, can this work or not? I'd like to know. 133353.
In certain circumstances, it could, where you could trust your workers, or in different roles where it suits. But
I got to know
not in every situation. No way.
I got to know about flexi time because when I was a kid, my older brother worked for what was called the ENWS department, and it was flexi time, which meant get your 8 hours done. But do it in your own time.
Whenever you just clock on.
You went in
off.
And he started a clock. And whenever you left the building, you turned that clock off. I think that's how it worked. And he was in a department where...
So as long as you were there.
As long as you did your job, as long as you did your 8 hours, do it when you want, when you can. Now, that would be convenient for a heck of a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Think about childcare or
kids
going to school and all sorts of things.
If you want to get in there at 6 a.m. instead of 9,
is anyone
knock
out
off
there,
3 hours earlier.
Is anyone out there actually doing this at the moment? I'd like to hear. And do you think this can work? 133353, whether you're a business owner or an employee... Let us know. Yeah, is this practical? 133353.
Triple M.
Heard from Richard Di Natale of the Greens. Can we work a 4-day week, Roo? Is it practical?
Let's go to Andrew's farm. G'day, Josh.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, Josh.
What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I just don't think it'll work, especially in a trade part of the workforce.
Yeah,
tell
us why.
Our work's already spilling over on the weekend, as is.
Yep.
And to compress it into 4 days, we're going to be working 2 days on the weekend.
So why did your work spill over? Because, there's just a ton of work out there, or the jobs take so long?
Not necessarily. There's a bit of travel as well for some of the jobs we do, so we're already, that takes the working day a bit longer, and then, there's some jobs push out because of the weather and whatnot.
Do you work more than 8 hours a day on a standard day? You would, wouldn't you?
Probably about 50 to 80% of the time.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
No, it makes
sense.
They could do it if they really wanted to, but they'd probably bet.
I think what we'll learn out of this route, it's suited to some industries and not others.
Yep.
Imagine, say if he's a tradie and decides, I'm going to do flexi time. And then the other trades are standing around going, where's that plumber? We need him now.
Yeah, you know, supposed to be on site today.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kerry Gully. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, hey, boys. You're spot on the money. It comes down to there's certain services it can work for.
Yep.
And there's others where it can't.
Mm.
What are they going to do? You're going to go to the doctors and all of a sudden you've got 12 minutes instead of 15 minutes. What are you going to do, Roo? You're going to have all the barmaids just standing there pouring beers in case someone walks in, so they're being productive in their 6 hours instead of eight.
Yeah, not open Mondays.
Yeah, it's just not going to work for anything for that's a public service thing. If it comes down to productivity or something, it might work, but like a production thing. But if it's a public service, you've got to be there when the people are there. And if there's no people there, you've still got to have staff on board.
Yeah, you've made some very good points there, Rob.
Can it work? Let's go to George. G'day, George.
G'day, how you going?
Good, buddy. Can it work?
It can, but it can't as well. But like, I do it now with my guys. We load trucks at night. And it takes them an hour. I give them an hour per truck. They can load in half an hour. And the guys go home within 6 hours. They get paid for, like, you know, 8.5 or 9 hours.
Right.
So the harder they work in the night, which is that works for us. But I don't know about the 5 days. It has to still be 5 days. But we do 6 hours. Literally, they get paid for 8.5, 9 hours.
Okay.
Right. Well, because that's what it should do if they just do it at the normal work speed.
Well, that's the time that we're allowed. Like, I'm not there all the time to babysit the guys.
Yeah.
So if I'm there, things go quicker. But when I'm not there, they obviously slow down.
Yeah.
But if this way here is an incentive for them to go home,
keep working hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
The quicker they get done, the quicker they go home. The quicker they, you know.
Good on you, George. Thanks for your example.
Hey, Roo, I think I'm posties as well. If you're a postie out there, I think if you can get your round done quicker,
if you can do 80 on the footpath and hit someone,
you might mow the odd person down, but that comes with the job.
You just got to put a Roo bar on the front of your scooter. That's all you got to do. Let's go to Andrew's farm, run over a few dogs. Let's go to Joe.
How are you? All right, lad?
Yeah, good, Joey. Good to hear from you again, Joey.
Hey, look, man, I don't know what herbs those greenies are smoking, but...
Same as you're on.
Nah, mate, not this little black duck.
Righto,
but if you're doing a six-hour day and getting paid eight, that means you're owing your boss 2 hours a day. Come Saturday, your boss is going to say to you, hey, you owe me an eight-hour shift, you're working Saturday.
Is that what, if you were the boss?
Oh, normal person would be doing it.
Yeah, in some, I understand what you're saying, Joe. Let's go to Murray Bridge. G'day, Daniel.
Hello, how you going, boys?
Good, Daniel.
Good. Sorry, walking straight past the building site at the moment. I'm sure
they're having fun.
Working hard. I think, again, like the previous callers have said, I think I can work in some industries. I mean, it's great for the employees, but I'm not sure how it works for every employer. I currently do it with my own job. I do 4 days, but I do 9.5 hour days.
Yep, okay, and that works for you. That's 38 hours a week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So great for me because I get a day off with the kids. So I don't have to
what industry
in
is it? What sort of industry?
I work here for Bank SA.
Oh, right, so what do you get to the call centre at what time?
So I start at 8.
Yeah.
And finish it. Oh, so it's a 10-hour day. So it's start at 8, finish at 6.
Half an hour
with
for
a
lunch.
A half-hour lunch break.
Uh-huh.
And then 3 10-minute breaks during the day as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. You get 3 days off, but you get home a bit later at night. And
exactly.
That's the sacrifice you make. Let's go to Norlunga Downs. G'day, Paul.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, good, Paul. What's your story?
Well, I'm a truckie. I do 76 hours a week, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to fit that into 4 days in one of the most heavily regulated industries in the country.
Yeah, well, I think he's what the sort of bloke you're talking about. In Australia, we work longer hours than anywhere in the world. You probably help that statistic by working 76 hours.
Yeah.
How do you enjoy that? Do you? I mean, a lot of truckies love being behind the wheel. That's their life. That's their home. That's their passion. Do you enjoy that, or do you wish that you could only work 40 and, you know, mix with people a bit more?
Well, it's a bit conflicted, mate. I'd love to be home with the kids a little bit more, but I love my job and I couldn't see myself doing anything different. But,
yep, you're a normal truckie. Like,
there's always that being conflicted between family and work, and you do your best. So.
Yep. Good on you, Paul.
Yeah, well done, Paul.
Thanks, buddy.
The truckies keep this joint going, Roo.
Well, they do work hard, truckies. It's a tough life out there on the road.
Yep, certainly is.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, today is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
So good luck to all the Irish out there celebrating today and having a bit of fun.
What's your favourite
Irish joke.
No, I haven't got any jokes. I've got a story for you. This is real, actually. I don't want to make light of the Irish on St. Patrick's Day, but I've got a story.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a story that the other day there was a dog, and I won't name the suburb, but there was a dog in the backyard, and he dug up a bone. And anyway, it was an unusually large bone.
Right.
And people would laugh. Thought, geez, not your average dog bone here that you're chewing on. And they worked out it was a human bone. Oh, my God.
Really?
So police have come around. There's obviously there's something in the backyard a bit untoward. And the forensic squad's come around, and they've sectioned off the backyard in squares. And so each one of the detectives took a square, and they had their plastic bags, and they pick up these bones piece by piece and put them in the bags for evidence. And they kept digging and kept digging. And eventually they got about 6 feet down, and they found this perfectly laid out skeleton, except missing the one bone that the dog had dug up, obviously.
Yeah.
And they noticed there was a medallion, a chain around the skeleton's neck.
Wow.
And they bent down. This actually happened. They bent down and there was a medal.
I believe you.
And
there was saying it.
There was a medal hanging off the end of the chain.
Right.
And it said, Irish Hide and Seek Champion.
He won, did he?
He won.
Caught you!
Sorry for that stupidity. Anyway,
you had me the whole
way. I knew I did. It really happened, Roo. It did.
104.7 Triple M.
8:27, ruined it's for breakfast. Now, Roo, yesterday we got talking about apprentices in Australia, the shortages.
Yes.
A lot of people rang up and told us their stories.
Yeah, people aren't becoming apprentices. Bosses don't want to take them on. We wondered why it was happening.
Now, a lady we met last year, because she came in as one of our angels as a special guest appearance.
Little fill-in.
Off
the bench.
Janet DeLeon Artist works in recruitment. She rang me when we got off air yesterday and has got a story to tell that I couldn't believe. Janet, good morning.
Hi, Chris, how are you going?
Good. Now, Janet, who do you work for? What's your company?
Recruit Coast. So we're a South Australian owned and operated recruitment company here in Adelaide.
All right. Now, please share with our listeners what you were telling me yesterday.
Well, we've got we've been inundated with job vacancies, particularly trade qualified, for example, boilermakers, sheet metal workers, diesel mechanics, and the list can just go on.
Yeah.
And we're just not getting them.
So therefore it does.
Pure and simple.
I mean, we're talking about we haven't got enough apprentices, but you're saying we also haven't got enough qualified tradies as it is. So we're going to, with the shortage, so it's going to be worse in years to come.
It definitely is. And predominantly what we're finding is that people are applying for work, but they're not actually reading the job descriptions. And, when it's qualified, it means qualified. A lot of people are coming out of the mining industry, so they're used to a certain pay packet, for example.
Mm.
So if you're changing your lifestyle for more quality time, you've got to accept that you might not be able to get paid the same as what you're used to. So that's also an issue.
So could I ask you roughly how many jobs are you advertising at the moment?
Well, jobs advertised, it's roles that we're talking about. So we could, at the moment, without exaggeration, we're looking at 65 plus.
65 jobs. Yep.
65?
They're roles, yes.
And you can't fill them?
Well, we're struggling with finding the right people to fill those positions. And again, it's a combination of factors, not being qualified, not having the right skills. And another issue that I think is across the board is people able to pass their pre-employment medicals and DNAs.
So what do you mean by that? They got old injuries or something? Or
well, there's a pre-medical for most of the high-end jobs. We've got to make sure everyone's physically fit to do those jobs, and also drug and alcohol testing for safety purposes.
Okay. So we do know that some people fail those for sure. Now, diesel mechanics is an interesting one for me because I've read over the years where we actually do bring, this is where you hear about 457 visas, I think, a lot of people coming in to be diesel mechanics. There seems to be a real, real shortage in that area in particular.
Yes, that's correct.
Are most diesel mechanic jobs in regional areas, or do you have heaps of diesel mechanics in the city as well?
I think it's across our state, we are saying regional, local. Look, it does come very spasmodically, but again, a lot of diesel mechanics are coming out of the mining industry.
What's a standard wage for a diesel mechanic, if there is one?
If they're in the mining industry, you're looking at, how can I encapsulate that? $26 to $35 an hour.
Okay.
So high end's 35 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. Janet, thank you. I find this fascinating. I really do. And you're at Recruit Co., good South Australian company. So, Janet, thanks for sharing your story with us.
My pleasure. Have a good day, boys.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Janet De Leonardis. Rue, the other thing I mentioned to you is that after Janet rang me yesterday, so we'd already gone through it on air, the number of people telling us that there's a shortage. There's Janet saying 65 positions. Tom, who runs Peter Kittle Holden in the port, I just happened to run into him in a coffee shop. He's a part of what's called the Northwest Business Council, I think they're called, or association. He'd just come from a meeting saying the exact same thing. All the businesses in the northwest of Adelaide can't find people.
Yeah, for trades.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to be massively worse because we're talking about 2012 to 2017. It's gone down the apprenticeship. So it takes 4 years to finish one. So I reckon we're going to have a real gap for at least another four or five if they don't turn it around quickly. So if I was a young fella at school and you don't know what you want to do and you really don't want to go to uni, I'd be considering doing a trade. I reckon you definitely get a job.
And a big career too, long career.
Get what you missed on Ruined It's for breakfast on the catch-up. For Adelaide Tools, selling tools, not toys. With five locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Mile End and Gawler. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.